Well, aloha, and thank you guys for being here. My name is TC Campbell, and so we are from PDG Hawaii, a small local firm on Oahu. And this is Emily Ballard. She's our project planner, kind of running and managing the project. And we are here today for Ho'onani Village, so a vision for sustainable community growth. This is the environmental impact statement public scoping meeting. And so we just appreciate you guys making your time and, you know, out of you know, respect for you guys. Thank you for letting us get going here.
Thanks, TC. Okay, so agenda for today's meeting, going over purpose of the meeting, giving you a project overview, and then a chance to provide public comments. And just so that everyone knows, this meeting is being conducted and audio recorded in accordance with Hawaii Administrative Rules, HAR 11-200.1-23. Again, the purpose of this meeting is to provide just a brief overview of the project, as well as receive comments on the proposed project alternatives, impacts, and mitigation measures to be considered and analyzed further in the draft EIS.
Yeah, and so just a little bit about the project members. So the developer on the project is Ho'onani Development, LLC. The developing consultant who's been kind of helping them move the project forward is Aspire Development, headed by Matt Pinaz. And the EIS consultant is us with Pioneer Design Group Hawaii. And the accepting authority for the EIS is going to be the State Land Use Commission. So I know you guys are kind of familiar with the parcel being on it, but so here's the regional location map. As you can see, this is currently showing the large TMK that was currently subdivided and approved earlier this year, as well as a potential offsite water source, just to kind of flag that for you and kind of where that might be located. So this one is just a little bit more of a detailed project location map. You can see we're just mauka of the Pu'unene Shopping Center with, you know, this is the current TMK boundary, and the shaded area is the approximate site that was recently subdivided. And so, like I said, with the water system, this is kind of an existing water source that we're currently looking at potentially modifying. We're going to get into that kind of stuff later, as well as a potential offsite pipeline down Pulehu Road, excuse me.
And I just want to talk about the land use history, what was there before. So the project site that where Ho'onani Village is proposed to be developed on is approximately 166.5 acres, northwest corner of Hanson Road and Pulehu Road in Kahului or Punine area. And historically, the site has been limited to plantation agriculture and related uses. So from the late 19th century through mid-20th century, the project area was fully integrated in Claude Spreckle's Sugarcane Enterprise and later HCNS. And historical maps also depict the presence of the sugarcane fields, railroad lines, irrigation ditches, and the associated infrastructure and plantation villages in and near the project site. And since 2016, when HCNS closed, the property has remained undeveloped fallow agricultural land. And the site is currently designated agricultural by the State Land Use Commission, which is consistent with its historic use. So this is a topo map from 1924 showing the site within the context of the plantation camps that were in the Pu'unene area. Camp 4 there is where the old Pu'unene Hospital was, and also within other historic structures like Old Pu'unene School are in the vicinity as well. And so part of thinking about the past uses and how the area was a kind of thriving community of not just where people lived, but also where they, you know, had that sense of place and community with others. These are the project objectives for Ho'onani Village. One is to provide housing opportunities for Maui residents across a range of income levels near existing services and job opportunities. We want to note as well that right now we intend, or the developer intends to have all units available for 140% AMI or below, which is workforce and affordable housing. Another objective is to provide a place where commercial businesses and industrial spaces, or provide commercial business and industrial spaces for local businesses to operate and expand, as well as create an authentic community and gathering places for locals that honors the history, culture, and connection to Central Maui.
Awesome. And so just a little bit about the Ho'onani Village, the vision, right? And so the really heart behind it, you know, you speak to the head developers, is you know, a place where people can work, live, grow, and just thrive together and build a community. So that's why there's a mixed-use vision. So we're currently looking at 1,608 multifamily rental units, as Emily said, all at the 140 AMI or below. Current commercial office space, you know, various retail, restaurants. The ideal is to focus on local businesses. We want to create a place where, you know, whether it's the small clothing brands or small local restaurants can come together, feed the community around them, and make a place where they can all come together and just and grow. Yeah, there is also a potential hospitality piece in there, as well as some light industrial uses to continue to provide jobs for our local community. Throughout the community, there's going to be open space areas, sports courts. You know, we're looking at even potential outdoor amphitheaters for events, and then other land for potential civic uses as well. The goal of Ho'onani Village is to create a place for the Maui community to grow. And so this is a preliminary site plan. Sorry if I'm blocking your vision on that side. But as you can see, it is a phased development here. And so we have 9 different phases. And we're gonna get into the schedule in a little bit. It is a 17-year build out for this thing is the plan. But as you can see, so the first phases are gonna be off of Hanson Road. The idea is, and they're gonna be focused on residential, right? Like, what is the need from the Maui community? And those are the units, right? And so the first phase is completely residential. And then as we build another, and so 268 units, excuse me, in phase one, phase two has the same. And then as phase two is getting built, we have we're sprinkling in commercial, right? We want to bring in value for these people, whether it's, you know, restaurants and other uses. And so slow, little by little, as this thing is built out, and it's basically in like 10-acre phases, at least for the residential side, this is kind of how we're going to slowly create this community that gets to just live together.
So some of the highlights or features of the site plan, the unit mix for the residential units will be studios, 1, 2, and 3 bedrooms. Parking will be provided as required by county code, and parking rates and traffic management will be implemented with studies and best practices. We do have a traffic study that will identify any improvements if needed. There will be laundry facilities on site, and the goal is to make this a transit-oriented design, with walkable neighborhoods, bicycle routes, improvements to Hanson and Pulehu roads, as we know that has, you know, been a concern with traffic, as well as bus stops. We'll work with the county DOT to confirm their interest and then possible routes within the community. Photovoltaic, so that is being considered PV for energy as feasible and allowable. And there, as you may have seen on the site plan, as TC mentioned, there's space for civic uses. So the developer will work with the county to provide land or dedicate land for the county to develop civic spaces such as parks or a community center.
All right, as an engineer, now I get to talk about my fun stuff. So the infrastructure. For street and pedestrian improvements, Emily mentioned a little bit, but you know, all the street improvements are going to be designed to meet the County of Maui, the street design standards. We're already working with Kurt and Nali and their team to make sure everything's looking good over there. Basically improving the main two roads, you know, Pulehu and Hanson roads, whether it's adding, you know, bike lanes. We want to make sure our cyclists are safe as they get through the project and to the project as well, if they should be living in there. And then the interior streets, they are going to be, again, to the county code, because the long-term idea is that the county or the developer does want to be able to turn these over to the county. For water system, and so there are several different alternatives. As we all know, you know, water is a big issue, and we are, you know, taking that very, very seriously. Potentially connect to the county water system. We're currently looking at potentially modifying an existing water source, and the other option would be to potentially create another water source. And so we are having Tom Nance and their team do a water impact report, and so this is being, you know, heavily studied. On the wastewater and the sewer side, there's a few different alternatives here, and this can we're working with the county's department as well as Department of Health. So one option is again to connect to the county system to construct on site a wastewater treatment plant, and so we did mark off an area in case we need to, you know, take care of that. And the creation of a wastewater treatment plant is also one of the triggers for this EIS process as well. And then the last one is to connect to the future Central Maui Wastewater Treatment Plant. And then depending on the timeline of that build out is how we could potentially connect to the county system should they divert, you know, Wailuku or to Central Maui. So that one has a lot of timing, but we are, you know, looking into this heavily as well. For drainage improvements, all of the drainage is going to be managed on site, and then also with the additional systems that are downstream of the project. Water quantity and quality control are both going to meet the county standards, so pretty standard there on the drainage side. We are definitely looking into, you know, a lot of the different types of, whether it's LID facilities, basically ways to utilize landscaping to also potentially take care and treat stormwater. For the power system, we're coordinating with HECO, and then for the cable and internet, we're coordinating with existing providers. So required permits and approvals. This is kind of a, we're not gonna read through the list, but just this project's gonna be, you know, heavily looked at, heavily regulated. So on the federal side, the state side, as well as for the county of Maui as well. Yeah, so a lot of different permitting following this entitlement process before we can get in the ground.
And kind of just to highlight, we do have land use amendments that need to happen, and so go through those maps as well. So first off, with the Maui Island Plan growth boundary, in red, that's the urban growth boundary where the Maui Island has identified for where they want to see growth. And so it's currently partially, like, there's a like small area within the urban growth boundary, but what we're trying to do here is convert it from doesn't have a designation to being part of the growth boundary. And the idea is that it is kind of filling this kind of puka here, or kind of it's flanked by existing urban areas, so you know, feel like that it would fit kind of appropriately in this space. The other land use plan, Wailuku Kahului Community Plan, the site's currently designated for agriculture. There is, again, the same area that is urban growth boundary is also heavy industrial, but we're seeking to have this community plan designation updated and working with the county now to find an appropriate designation since the planning department and county is currently updating the Wailuku Kahului community plan with their Central Maui update. County zoning, it's the parcel's entirely in agriculture, and so the intent right now is to redesignate as M1 or light industrial zoning, which would allow or encompass all the proposed uses. Except for the hospitality component, which is still, being contemplated, but would require additional amendments.
And so this is the estimated phasing timeline I briefly mentioned before. And so as you can see, we're currently at the, you know, end of 2025 here, currently in our EIS process here. What we're looking at on, you know, in terms of the EIS, we're looking at a first quarter, a publication of the draft EIS, and then hopefully a summertime FEIS. And so that kind of puts us, you know, to a phase one design starting early in the first quarter of next year. And then, you know, building permits sometime in early of 2028. And then with phase one construction hopefully being substantially complete in June or mid of 2029. And then as you can see, this is all the different phases. It's going to be a long build out. And the final substantial completion we're currently showing is June of 2042. Yeah, so this is the next steps for the EIS process. I briefly mentioned it just now. And so the EIS bid notice was published on December 8th. We're currently at the scoping meeting, and we are currently in the 30-day comment period. And so that's going to end on January 7th. So even if you do not choose to provide comments today, we still have time for whether it's written comments to come in before the 7th. As I mentioned, the draft EIS is kind of what we're preparing now, and then we're going to be analyzing all the various comments that we receive from the public. And so the draft EIS, we're looking at Q1 of next year, and then there's a 45-day comment period again for that. Then we're looking into the summer for the FEIS. And these are the technical studies and reports that are currently being analyzed that we currently have moving for the draft EIS. So everything from the preliminary engineering report, geotechnical studies, we're having a bunch of market studies done for retail demand, housing demand, economic impacts, so all the jobs and different ways this project could be both beneficial for the county. We are doing the very in-depth traffic impact analysis by Ferry and Piers, as well as noise studies. And so you can see that it's an archaeological, cultural, and so there is a ton of very, very good studies that are happening right now. And so our goal is to really take a deep look at the impacts from this project on the environment. And so we know a project of this size, it affects the community in so many different ways, the existing land in so many different ways. And so we are doing the best due diligence we can to make sure that the level of detail in this draft EIS is going to be of very high quality.
Okay, and then as you know, EISPN was published. If you have not taken a look at it yet or would like to access it, you can find it in the online publication of the environmental notice or by going through this URL link or QR code, which is also on a sheet handout at the sign-in table. And we will be opening it up to comments today, and so the purpose of receiving comments is to identify the issues to be studied in the EIS. It's not necessarily a question and answer session, but more of comments to let us know what we need to study, what we need to look at, or prepare for in the draft EIS. So effective comments will speak to the range of actions, alternatives, impacts, and mitigation measures to be considered in the draft EIS, as well as significant issues to be analyzed. And I know it's not too many of us here tonight, but we just want to respect everyone's time. So if you would like to comment, we ask to limit it and to 3 minutes until everyone has had a chance to speak. But thank you very much. I really appreciate you coming out tonight. And just want to provide other ways to comment as well. If you do not want to provide comments at tonight's meeting, you can send written comments to these email or mailing addresses. It's my contact at Pioneer Design Group, as well as the State Land Use Commission, who is the accepting authority. So they will be the final approving agency for the EIS, or accepting authority, I should say, for the EIS. So at that point, they will there will be a land use commission hearing to for them to be accepting of the final EIS. And just a reminder that deadline for comments is January 7, 2026. So again, thank you very much. And right now, I'll open it up to comments. If you could, raise your hand if you would like to comment now. Otherwise, no comments? Okay. Like I said, you can always submit your written comments as well. But yeah, I appreciate again you coming out in person to listen to our presentation.